This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, Now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI. As we've mentioned on the show a couple of times, the federal government has announced the appointments of the first Chief Accessibility Officer and the first Chief Accessibility Commissioner. These are positions that were created under the Accessible Canada Act. Our accessibility reporter, Megan Gilmore, joins us from Ottawa to tell us a bit more about these appointments. Hey, good morning, Megan.
Good morning, Dave. How are you?
I'm well. Nice to chat with you. Megan, let's start with a bit of a broad question. Just give us a bit of a reminder about what these positions are meant to do.
So the Chief Accessibility Commissioner is a role that is technically under the Canadian Human Rights Commission, and that individual is given this role partly under the recommendation of the Minister of Justice. And the role of the Canadian, the Chief Accessibility Commissioner is to promote compliance with the Act, the Accessible Canada Act, and ensure that federally regulated organizations meet their accessibility obligations. And they also receive and investigate the complaints that have been filed under the Act, and they will report yearly about how many complaints there's been, how enforcement is going, violations, all that. So Michael Gautil is the first Chief Accessibility Commissioner, and he was appointed very, very recently. He's blind, and he's been the executive chair of the Social Justice Tribunal of Ontario, which are the tribunals that would include things like social assistance is also under there. But he's also been the chief of commissions and tribunals at the Alberta Human Rights Commission, so he's a broad experience with human rights commissions across Canada. And then onto the Chief Accessibility Officer, which will be the main bulk of our time today. That's an independent, nonpartisan position, as both these positions are. And the Chief Accessibility Officer works with Minister Carla Quattro to investigate emerging issues in accessibility, to talk to people about how different government departments are doing in making their work accessible. The Chief Accessibility Commissioner also liaisons with disability communities. So it's really a lot of just listening and researching and hearing what's going on. And if the minister wants more information about a particular issue, they go to the Chief Accessibility Officer and they investigate that. There will be separate staff specifically for this office. They are working on staffing the Chief Accessibility Officer office. And like the Chief Accessibility Commissioner, the Chief Accessibility Officer has to report to the minister every year on their work, and then the minister then tables that report in Parliament. Just a note for everybody, this first report will be due in 2023. So just don't stress out in December when there's no report being tabled. It's 2023 that you can expect that.
Megan, we spoke to Stephanie Cadieu last year about accessible housing in British Columbia, but give us a bit more insight on her background.
Right. So she is a former Liberal MLA in British Columbia. Most recently, she was the official opposition critic for gender equity, accessibility, inclusion, and sport. She has previously been the Minister of Children and Family Development, Minister of Social Development, Minister of Community, Sport, and Cultural Development, lots of development, and Minister of Labor, Citizens Services, and Open Government. And she's also been really involved with the BC Paraplegic Association. She is a wheelchair user herself since early adulthood, I believe around the age of 18, which is interesting to have her teamed with Carla Quattro, who has a visual impairment that she's lived with her whole life. So you have two women working together, one who's acquired a disability, one who's lived with it their whole life, and they're different types of disabilities. So you see a mix of experiences and needs there.
Now, Stephanie Cadieu only moved into her position officially last week. Any Definitely sense of did. Early priorities?
Right. So I spoke with her on Thursday. So she'd been officially working the job for like 3.5 days. So there's been a lot of just like briefing on what's been going on. She's been setting up meetings with various groups. Also, various groups have been reaching out to her to set up meetings. So a lot of it is just learning the lay of the land and then coming up with the work plans and the goals for this year. Again, as I mentioned earlier, one of the big priorities will be staffing her office and developing feedback mechanisms. So National Accessibility Awareness Week is coming up at the end of this month to the beginning of June. And I believe the plan is that by that time, there will be more public-facing information about how regular citizens can get in touch with her office, even if you're not affiliated with a national disability organization.
Let's dig into a couple more specific details here. We know that disability policy cuts across all levels of government. How does Stephanie see her sphere of influence?
So she and I talked about that quite a bit because she is obviously with the federal government and disability is also seen in provincial politics. So here's how she explained that distinction to me.
Realistically, the scope of influence is within the federal areas of jurisdiction, federal agencies, and the federally regulated sectors, like banking or telecommunications and transportation. However, that said, as you say, a lot of these things cross boundaries and cross jurisdiction. And I know that even in just in my short amount of time in this role already, having being briefed on what's been going on up till now, I know that there is a lot of conversations going on between the federal government and their provincial counterparts as those areas of jurisdiction cross over and as the issues cross over. And I expect that to continue. The federal government as a whole can have influence on how things are done at a broader level. And I think that is some of the hope that if the federal government gets these things right, then that the provinces will find it easier to follow in those steps. There's other areas where the provinces may be leading and where the federal government can learn. And so I have an opportunity to, I would say, engage broadly, even internationally, to find those best practices, look at emerging issues and trends, and take that to the minister as advice.
Megan, let's look at an individual piece of policy here that people in the community are concerned about, and that's the promised National Disability Benefit. What did Stephanie Cadieux have to say about that?
So the National Disability Benefit is a part of the Disability Action Inclusion Plan that we've been talking about since 2020. And I asked Stephanie if she would be involved in that plan. And this is what she said about the disability benefit in particular.
Well, I know the minister is seized of that issue, absolutely, and has committed to bring that forward. So that's great. Certainly as it relates to conversations in the community and hearing from the community, I will be involved in that. Beyond that, again, I provide advice and monitoring. I'm not the doer in government. So it's just an important distinction.
As we dig a little deeper into policy, are there particular areas that Stephanie particularly wants to work in?
Accessible housing. So you mentioned that she's been speaking about what that looks like in British Columbia. That's still a big concern for her on the national level. And she explained to me why she believes accessible housing is important.
The way I explain it is everyone first needs a place to live. And if you don't have an accessible home and you need an accessible home, then you are essentially trapped. How can you go to work if you can't get out your front door? How can you have a life if you can't operate independently in your own home and get around your own home? And how do you engage socially in life if you can't go to people's homes or have people into your home? These things are so important.
Megan, I think that housing issue is one that has come up a lot in both our conversations in this segment and more broadly across the show. And it's one that I think a lot of people, whether that be just in terms of raw affordability and then adding the layer of accessibility, is one that's really, really touching and hitting home for a lot of folks. So along those lines, did Stephanie say if we can expect to see any changes in regards to building code for accessible housing?
Sure. So I was telling her a little bit about what we discussed on this segment a couple of weeks ago about the work that's happening in Ontario and how people have requested changes to the building code to increase accessibility. And here's what she had to say about those requested changes.
So would you like the Government of Canada to change the National Building Code?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to enhancements that are likely coming.
Yeah, it makes sense, right? That even if it's not necessarily a direct sphere of influence, that when you have more people inside the halls of power, they can advocate for the things that are important to them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. So, that's not a firm, concrete, should pin down exactly what changes are likely coming, but there's indication that there may be changes to the National Building Code.
Megan, couple odds and ends before we get out of here. I'm going to your old stomping grounds tonight in
you
Brantford,
are.
Ontario, to moderate this all candidates debate at W. Ross McDonald School. I'm excited. Anything I should look forward to while I'm in Brantford?
Do you like soft serve ice cream?
Yes.
Okay. Dairy Delight. King George Road near Home Hardware. You should go there. It's like I don't do Dairy Queen, Dave.
Okay.
Because
too bougie. I get it.
Yes. Brantford is not a bougie place. So don't expect anything like. Yeah, the bougie people, they move elsewhere. So.
I don't think I've been west of Mississauga since 2001, at least like in Ontario. Like I've been west of Mississauga in like the Winnipeg sense or in like the Vancouver sense. I don't think I've been west of Mississauga in like 2 decades. So this will be a real adventure for me to go to parts of Ontario that I'm not typically familiar with. I'm excited.
There's a Brantford game there's a few Brantford games, but there's a game of Count the Tim Hortons. Like there is a very large number of Tim Hortons in Brantford. And you'll be like, what? It's been 3 blocks that we haven't seen one.
Yeah.
What is this? So yeah, that's a fun thing that people like to do. I would do Dairy Delight, Count Your Tim Hortons, and you know. If you're into hockey memorabilia, there's people who can show you where to go.
Yeah, there's some Gretzky stuff, I imagine, around Brantford, one or two things. Megan, I'm kind of putting you on the spot here, but I'm still finalizing my question list for tonight. If you were moderating this debate, what questions would you want to ask? Or what's a question that you'd want to ask?
That's a great question.
Well, let me filibuster for a second while you can sort of straighten the thought out. We're going to be talking a lot about accessible education, like accessibility and education, which obviously, while it's being held in W. Ross McDonald, it makes a lot of sense. I want to talk about education more broadly. I want to talk about continuing education, post-secondary education, affordability. I want to talk about public transit. There's a lot of stuff that I think relates to education that doesn't always happen inside the halls of a school. So I'm going to try and press a lot of the peripheries tonight, beyond just sort of talking about curriculum.
Okay, so I got a few things. Thanks for that. One is, this is being held at W. Ross McDonald, and the provincial demonstration schools are part of our public education system. So I do think that there needs to be talk about them in some form, somewhere, about policies at the schools. A couple of things. Transportation. I think we should talk about expanding affordable public transit passes in this province. So, for example, when I lived in Toronto, because I have a CNIB card, I got free public transit. When I was growing up in Brantford with the CNIB card, it was just discounted public transit. There's no consistency. I don't think that's necessarily bad. I think municipalities should have some flexibility to pivot to meet their own needs. But I would personally like to see the eligibility requirements expanded to be beyond people who are blind and have CNIB cards. So like I know Toronto, they were doing a pilot project with if you used Ontario Works or Ontario Disability Support Program, you could be eligible for a discounted pass. I think we need to think beyond blindness in terms of disability and public transit needs. There's also been a lot of talk both with the Accessibility Standards Committee and then with the Right to Read Inquiry final report about training for teachers. So how are prospective teachers being trained about accessibility? How are they being trained to teach people to read? And obviously the teachers for the visually impaired, that's a big
for a lot of students. Yeah, specified training. Yeah, Megan, like I said, I'm still putting together my finalized list for tonight. I'm also going to let it kind of flow a little bit. That's right. How I roll. But I did want to pick your brain about that. So it's awesome that I got to do that on air and put you on the spot like that, because I'm a bad colleague like that. Megan, okay. I'm a good colleague because I'm going to ask about one of your side projects here. What's going on with the next episode of Connecting Disability?
Sure. So the next episode will be dropping shortly, and we are speaking to Quentin Clark, who is a member of the Canadian Association of Physicians with Disabilities. So I know that often the medical system can be intimidating or even like really frightening and might feel hostile. And we're looking at it from a different side. What's it like to be a doctor or a doctor in training who has a disability? How do they understand the medical system? And Dave, just for you, there will hopefully be a section about different models of disability and definitions of disability. Just for you, Dave, just for you.
Talking right to my heart there, Megan. Megan, have a great day and we'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Okay, enjoy Brantford.
I'll do my best. You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.